Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Third and Long with Coach Penn. I'm Coach Penn, in case you didn't know. Tonight, we are actually going to be covering a lot of information. Last week, for those of you who don't know, I was out of town because BJ, who runs the boards, thank you very much for that, she was going to be heading to Vegas for the women's football camp, and I was heading out to Tallahassee to go watch some Florida State football. So we canceled last week's show, and there was a lot of stuff on the table, and I actually put something on the boards, had her post something on the WFB Talk website, basically stuff to hopefully strike up an interest for my listeners out there, things that we need to talk about and maybe get out on the table. So right now I'm on my porch as usual in Southern California, Long Beach, a couple of blocks away from the beach, and the temperature's changing. It's getting kind of cold, and I know that I'm spoiled because, you know, 55 degrees is cold for me. And, you know, I know some of you right now are like, I had to shovel my driveway this morning to get to work. And so that's why I don't live up north or anywhere that I would have to do something like that. So I have a couple guests tonight. I did a pre-record with Anika Blair, the delegate and player for the New Mexico Menace. She actually went to the IWFL All-Star event. And then Coach Anthony Bartley, who was in Vegas with several of the other coaches I know, he should be calling in to give me his take on how the camp went. So that's some of the interesting things, because the camp and All-Star event were huge last weekend, and hopefully both were a success. I was unable to attend both due to prior arrangements. So everybody that thought I was picking one over the other, please just wipe that right from your head right now. Those of you who are listening, remember the number is 347-826-7278 if you want to call in and share your experience at one of the two events with me or give your take on what you heard. You know, I don't really like rumors, but, you know, there's always some truth to some of the rumors that are out there. So, you know, let's start a discussion out here. For those of you who are unfamiliar or first time listening, go ahead and click the little chat available button on the right. It's a green button. You hop in with the rest of the room, and you can talk away and get some things out there. I have a couple guests on right now, as well as Coach Gabe. He's actually a new member of my coaching staff this year, trying to get into the circle of women's football. So thank you for listening, everyone out there. BJ, once again, is running the boards. And if you do want to call in, hop in the chat room first so we can get your digits and then let you on through. So I'm going to have Coach Anthony on first. So when he calls in, BJ, just go ahead and let me know, and we'll put him through. And the big events were the camp in Vegas that Coach Dion Lee held, or the Las Vegas Showgirls, and the All-Star event hosted by the IWFL. Both were scheduled for the same thing, and what I'm going to first cover is the camp, since Coach Anthony is on. So go ahead and unmute him, and I will welcome him to the show, starting along with Coach Penn. How you doing, Coach Bartley?
I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
I am surviving. I'm starting to enjoy the cooler weather now. How about yourself?
Yeah, it is what it is. I can't complain.
We live in Southern California.
Cool. Yeah, exactly.
It's always kind of nice out here.
Exactly.
Well, how was the weather in Vegas this weekend?
Actually, it was quite nice, with the exception of the smoky casino.
Yeah, one of the spoiled things we have here in Southern California is you're basically not allowed to even think about smoking. So whenever we travel to Vegas, you know, to be around so much smoking is a unique experience and always takes some adjusting.
Exactly. But
yeah,
no, the weather was great.
Yeah, I can hear you a lot better now. You just put on your earpiece?
Yeah, I got off the headset.
All right, well, so the camping conference hosted by Coach Lee of the Las Vegas Showgirls was this weekend, and you were a running back coach, right?
Actually, yeah, I worked with the running backs and the linebackers.
Running backs and linebackers. So Give me a rundown of it. How do you think the event went? You know, was it as good as it was supposed to be?
Well, actually, it was really good. You know, the participation was even better. You know, especially coming from the players, their willingness to learn more, you know, more ideals of the game. You know, was actually it was a lot better than what I had predicted.
That's awesome. Yeah, because of the way that it was set up, it's supposed to be supposed to give the players an opportunity to not only improve their fundamentals but learn from other types of coaches. And you know, what players from other teams did you have that you remember and took a lot of notice to?
Well, you know, one I had to pay real close attention to Vegas. You know, since I'll be seeing them again in 2009, but. It was fun seeing a lot of the other teams from the other leagues as well, from Seattle, Sacramento, Kansas City. It was cool, real cool. We had representatives from Indiana, Toledo. So it was cool. It was real cool.
So basically, all three leagues were represented there, then, right?
Yeah, all three leagues were represented.
And that's a great thing for women's football right there. You know, I was always a big, I had a lot of, not so much negative things, but I had a lot of complaining, earlier. And because me and you talk, and, I was really pissed that both things were scheduled on the same dates. And I was just worried that both of them were going to be complete failures. And I'm glad to hear that, the camp was successful, because I think that barring both, the league and them scheduling it again on purpose, I think that next year will be just so awesome.
Well, I can say one thing for certain, the Women's Football Camp and Clinic will actually move forward and be even better than it was this year. This year was sort of the foundation, the stepping stone. We're looking to do bigger and better for next year. And hopefully we will, we can get participation. This was something where it's not, a league per se thing. This is something, again, to help put out a better product for women's football.
And that is exactly what women's football needs, because there's so many talented ladies out there that aren't receiving the individual attention that not so much they need, but that they deserve and the sport deserves. Because I know that I have a couple pretty good rookies this year that they basically just got by on talent alone, because we didn't have the time and the facilities to really coach them one-on-one, and that's one thing the campus applied. It wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
What was your access to equipment, and what were some of the things that you guys did? Did you do any 7-on-7 or, I saw a lot of the pictures that BJ posted, and I commend the Dion on getting a lot of those pictures up. That's pretty cool to be able to see all the different helmets and colors of jerseys. I think that was just fantastic to see. But what were some of the things that you guys went through for the 3 and 4 days?
Well, pretty much we focused more so on technique, teaching these girls, just certain things in regards to bettering their performances on the field. We worked on some hitting drills. Like the whole idea of it is, although they were full padded, we went very light contact, because again, a lot of them haven't played in a couple months now. So it would be, it behoove us to have them out there going full speed ahead.
Yes.
We just wanted them to get out there, learn some things that they can take back to their respected organizations. And then, again, hopefully it will make a difference in their style of play. They're learning from coaches. The whole idea of it is, you're getting information from championship coaches. Every one of us there have championships, and for me, just working with a lot of these other guys, like Norm Killian and Mark Ring and Nate Benjamin, just name a few. It was a hell of an experience.
Yeah, I don't disagree it wasn't, because, I still have yet to be a part of one of these things, and just going to the IWFL championship game where I got to, really sit down and finally talk with Coach Hughes of the Diamonds, and then I got to meet the Chicago Force coach, and I was just totally impressed to finally, get to spitball with other coaches, you know, and championship caliber coaches at that. So I look forward to making sure my schedule's clear next year to participate in this event, because I think it's a great thing for women's football. And I'm glad that you were able to supply your knowledge and put it out there for the ladies to learn. I mean, that's just a great thing that you did.
Yeah, so, and like I said, they were open, they were receptive to each and every one of us. I had a blast having a chance to meet BJ and Nancy for the first time. That was a blast as well. You know, we had, you know, had a few very good speakers there, you know, who are sharing in the same philosophy, and that's legitimizing women's football. So,
awesome. Good to hear. Well,
it was sweet.
Well, your team, the California Lynx, is basically right down the road from the Quake, right? Are you an Orange County or L.A.-based team? I'm not even sure.
Well, I'm based in Orange County, Anaheim.
Okay, you're in.
So yeah,
Anaheim,
I'm just down.
We know the Southern California area is basically.
We're just down the street around the corner, so you know, hey.
Yeah. But you guys have tryouts this Saturday as well, so I want to give the California Lynx a little plug there. You guys have tryouts this Saturday, and go ahead and give your website for me.
Our website is callinxfootball.info. That's just one of our domain names. So I have callinxfootball.com.
All right. So those of you interested in the Orange County area, Anaheim, you know, make sure you check out that website.
Yeah, and for, you know, people kind of make a simple mistake. It's two L's, not one, because some people put C-A-L-Y-N. It's two L's. So.
All right, so make sure you get that right. C-A-L-L, linksfootball.info. There you go. BJ was nice enough to put it on the chat board, so if you're looking to get that, you can always check the chat board and grab it and listen to it and then check out that site and see what Coach Anthony's team's all about. You guys are going to be having your 2009 season in the WFA, and there was a big news last week, the Jacksonville Dixie Blues you guys picked up. So that's a huge huge addition to your league, and congratulations on that.
Yeah, it's tremendous, and like I said, the announcement went out as well as with me being the Pacific Regional Director.
Oh, I didn't read that. I didn't even know that, so congratulations on that.
So, yeah, I'm just trying to make some things happen.
Well, good luck with that. I know it's I've been part of management too, and it's a lot of work, you know, balancing all this, but I believe you have it in you, and I wish you the best of luck this season. I want to thank you for being on the show and sharing your experience with the camp, and I look forward to next year and hopefully participating with you.
Oh, same here.
All right, Coach Barley, thanks a lot, and I will talk to you soon enough.
All right.
All right, everybody, that was Coach Anthony Bartley, the head coach and Pacific Region Director for the WFA, talking about his experience at the women's football camp in Vegas this past weekend. It sounds like there was a good thing. I've heard a lot of good things from BJ about it, and the pictures have been pretty cool, seeing all the different teams working. I tried to get in touch with a couple of the coaches today about that, but seeing as I've already had most of them on my show, I decided to call Coach Bartley up. He hadn't been on my show yet, even though he's been on a couple of the other shows. Have him in there and talk about that. Next, I wanted to roll into the All-Star event, which is basically competing with the camp. And I don't mean competing as in, you know, one of them is going to win, one is going to lose. I mean, they're both competing for the same personnel, but for different reasons. The All-Star event was a extravaganza so that all the players, All-Star players, can meet each other with the coaches and everybody just mingle and put the time. So next, I talked to Annika Blair, earlier this evening, and I want to go ahead and roll that interview. It's via tape, so please just listen, and as soon as it's over, it's about 5 or 6 minutes, and it goes over her experience and everything that was covered at that. So, BJ, if you would go ahead and roll that for me, thank you.
Annika, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All righty. Well, I called to talk to you about the All-Star event with the IWFL this weekend, and everybody that's listening, just so you know, this is Miss Blair. She is, what is your title with the New Mexico Menace?
I am the team delegate.
You are the team delegate. Now, I know that you play.
Yes.
And you're number 55, and we had an interesting conversation about that today that I told you that I wasn't able to go because I was actually had plans for state season tickets. And what is the reason you're number 55?
Because I'm a big Derrick Brooks fan. I've been a Knowles fan for a long time, so I was super excited.
And then, what a small world. I thought that was cool as could be when I heard that. And since I do cover college football on the show, I thought I'd bring that up before we get into the college football segment later on. For everybody that is just now listening, this is a pre-recorded earlier today because she actually has her first team workout this evening. It starts at 6:30, so I'm trying to get this done before she gets her body back into football shape. Excited about the season starting up?
Oh, yeah, I can't wait. I think my hamstrings are still a little not excited about it after this weekend, but I can't wait. I'm ready to hit.
All right, so what happened this weekend? I mean, obviously, if your hamstrings are, like, mad at you for participating in some set event, what happened?
So it was East versus West. We went, they said it would be a light contact. I think it turned into two-hand launch with flags around the hip. And we got lucky when three of us didn't end up on the ground. So, but it was a great game. So West came out. We came out on top 6-0. And it wasn't two field goals. It was a touchdown and a two-point. And it was a great game.
So you guys basically did have the all-star flag game, and it turned it a little – it was a little bit rougher than just a flag game, but it was 11-on-11, full throttle, you know?
Yeah, it was 11-11, full throttle. You know, it was really cool. It was great to see, you know, meet some of the players from the other teams, especially the Eastern teams, the teams that we had never seen before. So that was really interesting. I was really impressed with a lot of the level of talent that they have over there. Not to say that I didn't expect it. I just, you know, you don't know what to expect. And they were really, really good.
Well, that's awesome because I was tentative about, you know, when they said they were going to do a game, keep it flagged, keep it simple, I was like, ooh, is people going to be able to, you know, keep their motions held in to just keep it at flag? I mean, we had a flag football tournament recently, and it was so much fun, but it was nowhere near 11-on-11, and that can be quite difficult playing at flag. But luckily, nobody got injured, right?
Yeah, no injuries. You know, few scratches and bruises, and you know, everybody home was making fun of me because I came home with bruised up forearms and hands again, just like any other game.
Yep.
But when you play linebacker, that's kind of the nature of the game. So.
Yes, it is. So what about some of the other activities? I mean, you said you got to meet some players. I mean, how many players were actually there? I mean, I guess at least 22.
Yeah, you know what? I really couldn't tell you the exact number. I would say, I don't know, we probably had 20 side maybe.
25 total altogether?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe. I don't know. I was on the field a lot. I didn't pay attention.
You were on the field, not paying attention to that. But, I mean, I knew there was supposed to be a bunch of events. You know, you got to meet a lot of players. And what the All-Star, were you too tired after the game to actually go to the All-Star party? Or, you know, how'd that go down? Because I went to the championship game, and I was way too tired to go to the party. But I made a brief appearance, and once I saw what was going on, I was like, oh, I am way too tired to participate in this. So.
Yeah. So the morning we had a meeting with the league leadership, and then we had some workouts. You know, we got the great announcement about the USA football, so that was great to hear.
Yeah.
And got some insight into some other partnerships that the league's starting up and gonna have. So that was really cool. And then we went, had a lunch break, and then after the game, we had a there was that white party that was hosted by Chick Snakes, and that actually ended up being a great event. There was quite a few people there. Lots of us were pretty tired. I would tell you it still ended up being a pretty good night. It was really overall good. You know, met some good people, some great players, and you know, I think built some relationships in Austin even that'll last for a long time. So that was really cool.
That is awesome to hear because you know a lot of I've for one have been a major detractor from saying that it's just a joke that both of these events were scheduled on the same weekend, and I'm glad to hear that the All-Star event was a success and something that it can be built upon. So I want to thank you for being on the show this evening, and I hope to get your coaches on eventually. So, you know, forward me their information so I can get some coach talk done on my show. And,
absolutely.
I will let you get to your workout because I know they're all looking at you going, what's she doing over there, giving radio interviews or what?
Yeah, they are. They're like, no phones at practice. Way to follow your own rules, right?
So. Yeah, exactly. So go on, get your stuff done, and thanks again, and I'll talk to you soon, okay?
All right. Thanks a lot, Coach.
All right. Bye.
All right, bye.
All right. That was Annika Blair, the team delegate and starting linebacker for the New Mexico Menace, and her experience at the All-Star event. So they actually did have the flag game, and I know that some of the reasons for not having a real game was that it's been a couple months and people wouldn't be in shape and it would risk injury, but it's funny because we're actually having a discussion on the chat board. For those of you who are unaware, Dollstar was a Dolly Denning, from number 29 from the original first year of the Quake, and she also played 2 or 3 years at the Aftershock. She was the interception bandit of women's football, and pretty darn good. Well, she's actually getting ready to go to a flag football game tonight, but she won't come back and play football because of injuries. And I'm like, we're all having a discussion that flag football's way more dangerous than real football. And it's funny because everybody I've known who's played both has always gotten a more serious injury playing flag football. So the fact that they actually played a very rough game of flag football was probably a lot of fun for everybody. I know that reading on the IWFL Ning site that there was 10 to 12 teams represented. So that's very, very good to hear that a bunch of teams are there. And hopefully, you know, next year if the two things aren't competing date-wise, we should be able to get a good appearance and turnout at both events, because that's really what it needs. One is totally for the IWFL, the other one's for women's football. So I know there's a lot of questioning the camp and the goal of why both things were scheduled at the same time, but put all that behind us and let's work forward and say that, you know, next year make sure that these two events aren't on the same day so that both can be a success. And hopefully with all the prices of gas going down, people will be able to make both and not have to choose. So that's pretty cool. Let's see. Got a couple things going on the board, nothing much. So let's dive right into some of the things I had talked about on the write-up that BJ posted last week. Let's start with WFA, NWFA thing. The West Virginia Wonders were announced that they were in the WFA. And then all of a sudden, the NWFA actually recanted that transfer and said, despite what is said on the WFA league website, the West Virginia Wonders have not left the NWFA. So that, to me, seemed a little weird, like somebody reneged, changed their mind, or there may be something a little more going on than can be read into that. And that saying, how long will it be before the WFA and NWFA merge? I mean, they already have three letters of the acronym matched up. Who will merge with who? And, you know, and then I put on there, did CM, and that's Catherine Masters, contact the IWFL about merging before quitting? I've actually heard a couple of rumors that phone call actually took place. And for those of you who don't know, Catherine Masters and the IWFL, they don't have a very good relationship. In fact, they had not talked since both leagues were invented. Like, they were basically boxers in a ring without even going in a ring. They hated each other or didn't want anything to do with each other and pretty much acted like the other one didn't exist. So to hear that Catherine Masters, before she quit and or walked step down or whatever however you want to word it, I call it quitting, she contacted the IWFL to merge. And I think that's funny because look at the IWFL. How many teams have they lost to WFA? Not very many. And while the NWFA has lost half of their team roster, you know, they've lost a ton of teams to this. And I think that both leagues will continue to survive. But I think I think and anticipate these two leagues eventually merging. They're both being ran kind of the same way now. I mean, both leagues are technically ran by the owners with supervisory delegation from a league head. And I'm not sure the specifics of the NWFA arrangement or alignment, but I'm kind of thinking it's going to be very similar to that of the WFA and the WFA. And why wouldn't they merge? If the owner's in control, why don't you just merge, and then you have your 40-plus teams, IWFL will have your 40-plus teams, and then eventually it'll all come together. So that was my little thing about that. And like, as I mentioned, the WFA picked up the Jacksonville Dixie Blues, another team they got from the NWFA, so that's a huge pickup for them. Even though the Dixie Blues haven't played in a while, they're still a force to be reckoned with, especially if, what's her name, Rocky Brown? I can't remember her name, but maybe Spider or Dollstar, who's on, can tell me about that, because they both played against her, and that woman was a crazy running back. She was very good. So that's all I had for those two leagues. Not much is updated on either one of those leagues. There's a Tallahassee team in the WFA called the Tallahassee Silverhawks. Actually, I was actually in Tallahassee, so I contacted their coach, but he never got back to me. So I just don't understand how difficult it is to either check your email or return phone calls. I mean, if you're that busy, how are you going to run a team if you can't even do that? So there's my little soapbox moment for the evening tonight, and now we're going to shift over to some IWFL news. IWFL, I put a lot of things, not so much bashing, but questioning the IWFL because, you know, nothing had been announced in the week since the owners meetings and delegates meetings or whatever you want to call them. And I was like, was a gag order placed? Or are people that good at keeping secrets? And, you know, the site had yet to be updated with new divisions and teams, even though the Ning site kept on saying it would be updated in a day or two. And, you know, I wanted to know who got booed and who's playing who. Well, the IWFL did update their site with the teams and divisions, and then the next day it was gone. And I think that had something to do with just the programming function of the league website. And so here it is. The tiers have been set up. There is 22 teams in Tier 1. The rest are in Tier 2, and they're not split into divisions at all. They're just Tier 2 teams. So I'm assuming if they don't break them up into divisions, that the top 4 or 6 teams with the best record will make the playoffs for Tier 2. And there's a couple X teams, and I seriously don't think those teams will actually be playing this year. They probably are going to be given a year to get their things together so that they can come back for the 2010 season. But some pretty interesting things set up in the IWFL. The Houston-Dallas rivalry is now renewed because they're both in the same division, but they are not in the Western Conference. They are in the Eastern Conference. Now moving over to the Western Conference is the Chicago Force. So Chicago Force-Dallas rematch is possible, but they will both be representing different sides. Let's see. There's this is, you know, pretty unique because it looks like most of the powerhouses are in Tier 1. I mean, I do not see any teams that basically can't compete. You know, you might be able to say Oakland, but Oakland last year they were an X team, and this year they're supposed to be fully back. I mean, but listen to the Boston Militia, who proved they are something to be reckoned with. New York Sharks, everybody knows that team. The Philadelphia Firebirds, which used to be the Philadelphia Phoenix, and they made the playoffs last year and have been a consistent playoff person. The New York Nemesis, that was a playoff team from the NWFA. The Detroit Demolition, I don't need to say anything. The DC Devias, I don't need to say anything. The Baltimore Nighthawks, they are a pretty decent team, too. They had some good scores last year. The Pittsburgh Passion, yeah, that's a decent team. The Miami Fury, who, after watching on film, did a great job against Dallas last year. If they would have had more ladies, they probably could have competed a little bit with Dallas. I mean, they had speed, and they tackled really well, but because everybody was playing both ways, they just wore down too quickly. The Atlanta Explosion, then Dallas and Houston. Then you go to the West, and you have the Seattle Majestics, and they proved that they're something to be reckoned with last year. Corvallis, who always gives Seattle a good game, and Portland, that's one division right there. And then in my division, which I'm defending this year, I don't have any teams that I had last year in my division, so we basically have to defend our title against all new teams. Sacramento, who we haven't beaten in 7 years. Oakland, an old rivalry, and then the LA Amazons, an old rivalry for me, but a brand new rivalry for the California Quake. The Midwest, Chicago Force, Kansas City Tribe, which held Dallas to the lowest offensive score of the year, and then the Wisconsin Warriors, who did great against Chicago the two times they played them. So it looks like the Tier 1 is going to be a great, great year. Lots of Tier 2 teams. You got all the ones that they've mentioned as new teams in there, and some of the teams that you saw not competing as well are down there. So that's pretty cool. The schedule has not been released yet, but they did make a major announcement 2 days ago, and that was the partnership with USA Football. The IWFL is now recognized as the league for women's football. And joining with the USA Football, they've linked themselves to basically every youth program across the country and a lot of coaches. So that is a huge partnership right there and national recognition for the sport. So I commend the IWFL for that. That's just amazing right there. And I know of at least 2 to 3 more major announcements, but they haven't announced them yet. And since I haven't been told I'm allowed to say anything, I am not going to. So now that we've got all the women's football stuff covered, I haven't really had any questions out there on the boards. I guess everybody's going to be listening via record tomorrow, so hopefully everybody enjoys it. And if you have questions or something to say, you know, always feel free to email me, headcoach@californiaquakefootball.com. Pretty simple email to remember right there. You know, headcoach@californiaquakefootball.com. You email me, throw me your input, and I'll maybe include it on the next show. And most likely, it's a yes, including on the next show. So for those of you who are listening and are unaware of the talk chat room, there's a chat available button, green button on the top right. Click that. You can hop in and talk with some of the other people in there. We still have a couple people in there. So right now we will bounce out of women's football and into college football. I'm a big college football fan, as proven by my season tickets to Florida State University, and I was out of town this weekend, spent so much time traveling, it was ridiculous. You know, Tallahassee's northwest Florida. I flew in to southeast Florida, like Miami area, Fort Lauderdale, and drove up with a couple college friends 6 or 7 hours to Tallahassee for the game. That's how much of a college football fan I am. I drove all that way after flying so far and watched Florida State kick some Clemson butt, which I'm very, very excited to say. BJ just mentioned that she's wearing her California Quake sweatshirt tonight. I'll make sure not tell any of the Siren teammates that. But thank you for your support. It's funny, we actually have a picture on our fridge here of a friend's parents in, like, Kentucky or something, and they're wearing a California Quake gear at a barbecue in the backyard. So it's like, cool, we're doing our part to spread the word, and is anybody listening? So there were some great games last week, a couple surprises, and I want to go over my new top 15. We'll start at 15. I put my Seminoles there but just because, you know, they're one horrible game and a fumble in the end zone away from being, you know, undefeated, and they, probably should be 8-1, truthfully. But they're 7-2, so as far as high as they're going to go is 15. 14, I have the North Carolina Tar Heels. They're 2 field goals away from being undefeated, which is pretty amazing, and I didn't know that until I started doing some research. Have a big game this week against Maryland. Maryland is undefeated against ranked teams, so North Carolina needs to pay attention. 13, Cincinnati Bearcats. They actually play on Friday night this week, so make sure you watch that game. They haven't beaten Louisville in like 9 years, I think. So if they can do that, they're in control of their own destiny. They only have 1 loss in conference, and their other loss total was to Oklahoma. So they're actually having a pretty good year. Oklahoma State, I dropped to 12. That's 6 spots they fell. They proved they can play with the big boys in Texas, but Texas Tech just killed them. And I was really surprised at how well they dominated them. BYU's number 11. They're hoping that, Boise State loses and that they beat Utah, and hopefully they can get the BCS Buster spot. Ball State, even if they finish undefeated, I think that Utah, Boise, and Brigham Young have a easier path to get that extra bid. I think Ball State will be satisfied with the undefeated season. Penn State, all they had to do was win out against lesser opponents, and they would have guaranteed themselves a spot in the BCS championship game. Well, they lost to Iowa. So now they will be playing in the Rose Bowl as long as they don't screw up again. and I don't foresee that happening as they play Indiana this week, and that should be a pretty easy game. SoCal, the Trojans of USC, I moved them up to number 8. They are praying that Oregon State doesn't win out, because if Oregon State wins out, then USC is going to have to play for an at-large bid. They will no longer they won't play a Pac-10 team, or Pac-10 versus Big Ten team, because they would just slaughter them. But they'll have to get an at-large bid, which will knock one of the BCS busters out if two wanted to get in. So number 7, I have Oklahoma, because, you know, I don't think they have a good enough defense to play with some of the people that are out there. I mean, defense wins championships, and they simply do not have one. I mean, they let Texas run off 25 unanswered points in the second half and to win the game. They have two major hurdles left to climb, and the bye they need. Number 6 is Boise State. They don't really have anybody left. They play Idaho this weekend, who's nobody. Then they have Nevada and Fresno State, and Fresno State was supposed to be their main challenger, but Fresno State just they have too many injuries. I think Nevada's probably going to give them their biggest challenge, but, I mean, Nevada's a pistol offense, and I just don't think they have what it takes to knock them off. Utah, they have that one game left on the schedule. They're number 5, and they play BYU the final week of the season, so that will make or break their season. I'm going to skip number 4, go to number 3. That's Texas. Texas Longhorns are number 3. They have one loss, and it was on the last play of the game. They're hoping for Texas Tech to trip up so they can basically fall into the national championship game. First, they'd have to get the Big 12 championship game against Missouri, but I don't think that would be a problem. Number 1 is Texas Tech. Now, they have a bye, too. As soon as they come off that bye, they play Oklahoma. And that is the game of the year right there. That's two major offenses going at each other with no intention of playing defense whatsoever. I guarantee you there will be defense played, and that defense will make the difference in the game. Number 2 and number 4, the two I skipped. Alabama is number 2. The Gators are number 4. Alabama really doesn't have a challenging schedule left, but as long as both of them keep on winning, the winner of the SEC championship game will play for the national title against either Texas Tech, Texas, or Oklahoma. So that should be pretty interesting right there. And for those of you who know, I'm a huge college football fan, and what a season it has been. There is some good football being played. In the SEC, it's a very defensive-oriented conference. In the Big 12, it's a very offensive-oriented conference. So I think the two major facets of football will go at it hardcore. And the thing that I really like about the championship game, whoever plays in that game, if they play against the Florida Gators, I can guarantee you Florida will win, because they not only have a defense, they have a special teams. And that will be the difference in the game. And just so you know, I'm saying it now. If the Gators make the championship game, whoever they play will lose, because they have two of the three facets of a game better than anybody in the top 25 right now. Their offense is very good, but Texas Tech, Oklahoma, they're off, maybe even Southern Cal, both of those offenses are better than Florida's. But when it comes to defense and special teams, they have it. And I will hate to see another Florida Gators national championship, because I would like Florida State to get to 3 before they do. But if it happens, it happens. At least it's a team from Florida. I will be at the Florida State game, and I'm hoping that Florida State wrecks their season, and that'll be beautiful. But I don't see it happening. So there's my college football rundown right there. What are some of the big games this week? Cincinnati, like I said, that's a Friday night game. Steve Spurrier is going back to Florida this weekend. USC is going to try and avenge that upset last year, one of the biggest upsets of all time. Let's see. Georgia plays not so much a meaningless game against Auburn, but a very, very revered rivalry game. So let's see. Got Ohio State, Illinois, strength against strength, offense versus defense. That should be good. Boston College, Florida State. Florida State's not in control of their own destiny, but they need to win out. They could seriously win out and end up 10-2, and Wake Forest end up 8-4, and Florida State would still not win the ACC, which is funny to me, but, you know, that's how it happens when you lose to somebody, and that's first tiebreaker is head-to-head. So let's see. What do I got next? I have the NFL next. The NFL, I am glad to say that my Dolphins, go Dolphins, they are above 500 for the first time in a long time. They're 5-4, and I am killing everybody in my fantasy league. One of my friends actually put in there, she's like, did you tell Kara not to put anybody on her team this year so you could just dominate? And I'm like, no. So I think that was funny. I played her this weekend, and all of her people are either injured or had a bye, so this week was a domination, and it's not like she would have a chance because I scored the most of anybody in the league this week. The big game this week is the Jets in New England. They're both 6-3. New England's 4-1 at home, so, I mean, it's got to tilt toward their favor. But I think the Jets are steadily improving, and that's scary because they have Brett Favre, you know. So let's see some of the other big games. We got Oakland at Miami, and Miami's favored by 11. What is that? Miami favored by double digits? I'd like somebody to do the research and find out when the last time that happened was. 90s, maybe 80s. So we got Tennessee. Tennessee is still 9-0. Nobody's, you know, if this was Indy or New England, it was undefeated season, blah, 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 chat, 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 blowing smoke, right? Well, we have them at 9-0, and everybody's just like, hey, yeah, they'll lose eventually. Well, 9-0 is a pretty big accomplishment. This week they traveled to Jacksonville, and Jacksonville actually found the running game. It's called Maurice Jones-Drew, not overaged Fred Taylor. He should be the third down back now. Jones-Drew, the little bowling ball that could. You just give him the ball and watch him bounce off people or watch the defense try and find him. So that should be a huge game. Tennessee has to go to Jacksonville. That's one of the later games. We have a very, I don't know if it's big, but it's a kind of big game. I mean, San Diego at Pittsburgh. San Diego's having a horrible season. And Pittsburgh can't stop Big Ben from holding onto the ball too long, and he keeps on getting sacked. And their offense is suffering because of it. I'm not sure why, but they just can't get the ball out of his hands quick enough. So, don't know what that's about. Another big game, or at least I would consider it a big game, Baltimore at the New York Giants. Baltimore's actually first in their division right now. So, basically, two first going at each other. Giants are 8-1, and they're a very silent 8-1. I have Brandon Jacobs on my fantasy team, and I just love it because, I mean, you try and tackle an offensive lineman running downfield, it's not very fun when they know how to run. I mean, it's a big walking wall, you know? Going down the field, say, hey, look, somebody to hit. And he looks for those hits. I don't think he'll last very long because of those hits, but, I mean, he'll have a good 4-5 seasons and then be done. The other game that I think is probably most intriguing around the country is going to be the Dallas Cowboys at the Washington Redskins, and that's because Tony Romo's back this week. Tony Romo, you know, hurt his pinky because he's a total tool. And I know they say, well, the pinky's very important to throwing the ball. You know, one thing I do at practice is I tuck my pinky just to see if I can throw it like that, you know, and I can still throw a ball. I may not be able to throw it as far, but the short to intermediate passes, I can throw it, and their hands are way bigger than mine. I mean, the ratio may be about the same because the IWFL ball is so small, but I just think it's funny. I mean, he's an NFL quarterback making millions, and his pinky held him out for how many weeks, and Dallas is just folded with Brad Johnson as quarterback. And I know Spider is a big Dallas fan, as well as a couple of my other players, and they're just hoping that the team is back this week with that. You know, so it's the season's halfway over now. You know, everybody's played 9 games, and it's almost time to start, you know, talking playoffs. I mean, the let's be the standings. Giants have an easy 2-game advantage on everybody in theirs. The NFC North is a joke, with Chicago, Minnesota, and Green Bay all having a chance. Detroit, the only winless team in the league, they're just happy to be on a bye. Let's see. The NFC South, the best conference in the National Football, or best division in the National Football League. Carolina, Tampa Bay, Atlanta, all basically within a game in each other. And New Orleans is not that far behind, and you know, they're not a bad team. They've lost some heartbreakers recently. They're playing very inconsistent. The NFC West, Arizona's all but locked it up, it seems like. I mean, it's a really bad division, and Arizona's playing good football. The AFC East is two teams of 6-3, two teams of 5-4. Miami is not in the cellar for the first time in 3 years. That's nice. AFC North, like I said, Pittsburgh and Baltimore tied at the top. The other two teams, AFC South, which is usually a very competitive division that Indianapolis takes, now sees Tennessee. They've won it. Division's taking care of their 3-0 in the division, and Jacksonville, which is 4-5, is closest at 2-1. So they have that, and that is another. That's why it's such a big game for Houston to win, because that makes them 3-1 in the division. And if Tennessee starts, you know, screwing up and loses a bunch of games, you know, Jacksonville can hopefully sneak into that wild card, if not win the division on a tiebreaker. AFC West, another dismal division. You know, Denver's at 5-4, and I don't know how they've quite managed to be that bad with that talent. And same thing with San Diego. I mean, we knew Oakland and Kansas City were going to be bad, but those two, quite surprising. Quite surprising that they're that bad. So, what about the Jets? Do they have a chance with Favre? Well, you know, Favre's a gunslinger, and he's always going to give it his all. And I think the Jets, as long as they keep running the ball with Thomas Jones and Leon Washington, I think they're going to have a really good chance to win that division. I think they can beat New England, because, I'm sorry, New England is, there's an aura of New England. Everybody thinks they're just so good and all this and that, and, you know, it's like they're just a football team, and it's the NFL where anybody can beat anybody. Detroit can beat any of the teams in the NFL. They just are a horrible team and don't play as a team. And that's one of the things I stress as a women's football coach. I don't focus on the victories. I don't focus on winning championships or crowns or any of that stuff. I focus on teaching and playing disciplined football, real good football, you know, because if you play good football, you're going to win. I mean, you just need to, you know what you're doing at all times, and if you don't, you should have the basics and the technique to support what you're doing. And to see, you know, Detroit miss assignments, miss tackles on offense and defense is just so sad, because they are bad players. They're just not focused, because the direction and the want isn't there. All they want is a paycheck right now. And that's one of the reasons why I really don't like the NFL. Everybody plays this carbon copy football where all the plays are the exact same on every team, and it's all about who can motivate their team well enough to play as a team instead of as a person. Coach Gabe asked about the Cardinals. I have always thought the Cardinals were a good team. They, like the Lions, just were never inspired or felt like winning. This year, with Kurt Warner, rejuvenated Kurt Warner, playing like he was in the early 99-2000 era. He's just having a great year. And, I mean, when you have Anquan Boldin, Steve Preston, and Larry Fitzgerald, you need to be throwing them the ball. And if people try and shut that down, you need to be able to have a running game to go to. Well, they don't necessarily have a running game to go to, but they do have a running game. And as long as they try and maintain somewhat of a 40-60 balance, 40 being their running, maybe 35, then, you know, try and get 50 to 120 yards rushing per game. That's everybody, not just one running back. You know, they should be able to win games. They're a very talented team, and that defense is a lot better than you think. They have given up some points this year, but, I mean, they've missed a couple people pretty dearly. When they come back, they should be a force to be reckoned with. So, that's all I really had for tonight, wasn't it? Yeah. You know, the schedule still hasn't been released for the NFL. Actually, the schedules haven't been released from any of the leagues, you know, which is frustrating to me just because I'm like, where did everyone playing? You know, but I still haven't even received direction from my management team as to what are their goals for the team this year, you know, because women's football is a fine, delicate flower that you need to basically make sure you put the right amount of water on and get it in the right soil, because people are very finicky. And, you know, while we're trying to give women the opportunity to play, we're also trying to win and build the sport. So, and all these women are paying money to play football. And so there's a fine line you have to discuss within your organization. Are we going to please everybody and give everybody equal amounts of playing time because everybody's play are paid the money to play on this team? Or do you structure it as into a tiered system, whereas in, you know, based on your attendance, your effort, the money that you paid, and your athletic talent, and what you mean to the team, and blah, 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 yada, 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 this is how much you play. Or do you say, you know what, we want to win, because the more games we win, the more, I guess, sponsors we can get, the more our name will get recognized, the more we'll move up into the ranks of women's football. So it's a fine line everybody's got to play with, you know, to see, you know, keeping all the players happy, keeping the coaches happy, and everybody, you know, winning. Nobody's happy losing. But if you have that team that is just out there to play football, you know, losing might not be the, you know, might not have any effect on the team because, hey, you know, we're just out here to play football. We win some games, great, but we just want to be able to play football. And I know that some of the teams are like that, and, you know, that's freaking wonderful because that's what women's football is all about right now. Hopefully, within the next decade, I guess you could say, we'll have women's football where you can actually choose which tier you want to go to, per se. You know, and I'm not directly putting it on the IWFL, but say, hey, listen, you want to just go out there and play football and basically get your feelers out there and see what it's all about. You play for a Tier 3 team. If you think you're ready to, you know, put in some dedication and time and effort and studying and film, then you go up to a Tier 2 team. And then, you know, the Tier 3 would be, you know, these are the professional ones that are on TV and ESPN and, you know, they get paid. Sort of like, you know, the Arena League does it. The Arena has two different tiers right now, but women's football has so much interest, and it doesn't have all the other things that, you know, men's football has, where college, pro, semi-pro, Canadian, arena, you know, they have like five or six tiers, and that's the truth. Women's football has six plus tiers. Well, women's football probably could build three tiers right now if everybody was together, and hopefully in time that'll happen. But, you know, I look forward to that day, and if I'm still part of it, wonderful. If not, you know, hey, I did my part. I mean, I'm moving on to my eighth season with much trepidation. I can't believe our tryouts are actually this Saturday. So those of you who are interested in going to Coach Bartley's, remember that we're right down the street. So, you know, and we're having three tryouts, so a lot of players are, you know, not sure, or some people don't meld with coaches differently, you know, personalities conflict or clash. So, you know, if you are in an area that has multiple teams, you know, don't commit yourself to one team or the other. You know, go check out all the teams. Check out all the teams in your area and see which one best fits you. You know, because unless you're happy on the team that you feel most comfortable with, you're not going to be the player you can be. And I think that's very important. Now, I'm not saying that I don't want you to come to my tryout and go to somebody else's, but I'm saying, you know what, at least come to my tryout and see what the experience is like and see if it's something that you want to be part of. If you feel that that's not something you want to do, you know, in Southern California, we have six or seven teams, it seems like. SoCal Link, or get the Lynx, California Lynx, SoCal Breakers, Ventura Black Widows, LA Amazons, California Quake, Modesto Maniacs. Yeah, I'm out of breath, you know. So we're one of the areas that have a big melting pot and a huge pool of people to choose from. So, and all of us can be pretty good teams. Eventually, I'm sure we'll have just two teams in the area, and both teams will just be rock solid, and everybody will be like, man, the West Coast teams are always dominated. Well, yeah, I look forward to those days, and hopefully I am still a part. So that's all I really have for tonight. I am done. I don't have anything else to say. Nobody's really chatted up in the chat room. So hopefully I'll have a show next week if there are any major developments. I plan to. If not, I may wait a week to actually have another show because I know there's some big games coming up in the college football scene. So I look forward to discussing those games. So hopefully tell your friends. Those of you that are into college football, we will get those discussions going on, and I want to hear about everybody's input. So I want to say thank you to everyone for listening and those of you in the chat room. Appreciate it. BJ, I did send you my music if you haven't got it yet. I don't know what the deal with that is. Thank you, everybody, for listening. This has been Third and Long with Coach Penn.